Call us 877-337-6666. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 11 o'clock on the button. BT and Sal, it's the Brandon Tierney Sal Licata Show. And we have been looking forward to this. In studio is Trevor Bauer. And many of you know the story. Great pitcher, obviously not in the game right now, trying to get back in the game. Before we start a conversation, I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. I want to do this real fast here. So you go through the last couple of years. In 2021, Trevor was accused of sexual assault but never charged. All right, this was during the season. Subsequently placed on administrative leave by Major League Baseball. Right before the 2022 season, he was suspended for 324 games. That was eventually whittled down to 194. The Dodgers released Bauer before the 2023 season, went to Japan, did very well. And then in October, Bauer and his accuser, her name is Lindsey Hill, they dropped the lawsuits against one another. For the record, this is fact, has not been found criminally or civilly liable in any court. Never arrested, never charged, no grand jury ever convened. So, first of all, welcome to the show, Trevor. I wanted to get that out there. I don't want to assume everybody knew exactly where we've been. But after all that, the talent, the money, how are you in this position? How do you get here?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate the time. It's been a hard, 2.5 years, professionally, of course, but personally. As well. I guess the first thing I have to say is that I never sexually assaulted anyone. I never have. I never will. It's not who I am as a person. But I made a lot of mistakes in my life in general that led me to being in a position where something like this can happen. I haven't had the chance to speak on it for 2.5 years, so I appreciate you guys having me on to have that opportunity. But in those 2.5 years, I've had a lot of time to think and kind of categorize things for myself into three kind of main categories of mistakes. I'm happy to go over those right now if that's cool for you guys.
Yeah,
that's here. Number one is obviously my interactions with the women. I agreed to do things that I shouldn't have done. I met people and just like welcomed them into my life with no real scrutiny. I'm very detail oriented when it comes to baseball and training. Everything I do has a purpose, but I didn't apply the same level of scrutiny to my personal life. And, I was reckless, I think is the best way to describe it. I ended up, hurting a lot of people around me, my teammates, Dodger organization, friends, family, Major League Baseball. Just by not being careful in what I was doing in my personal life. So I've made a lot of changes in my life to address that. I'm not having casual sexual relationships anymore. I'm keeping my circle very, very tight. I'm not willing to agree to do those types of sexual acts anymore, even if, someone asks me to do those things. I made a lot of mistakes in that area that I've tried to rectify. The second category is really my reaction to the media, my relationships with the media as a whole. There's obviously been people that I've been close with in the media and had good relationships with, but I think in general I've had a contentious relationship with them for a long time.
I've always thought you were a jerk, honestly.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't know you, but from afar, right? Like watching on social media and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you got into it one time with Francesa, I think. It was after maybe you threw the ball or whatever. And just, it was an arrogant maybe thing, jerk type feel is what I got.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think that's an extremely fair way of viewing things. I look back at a lot of the things that I said and very jerkish. I think, my perspective on it at the time was, I was bullied a lot as a kid, and my life got significantly better when I started standing up for myself and kind of found my voice to be able to express myself instead of just taking everything. And then I think I kind of just took that too far, and I viewed it at the time as I was standing up for myself. Someone would say something negative about me, I'd fire back. And now my perspective has shifted to I should have just had a human conversation with the people. If it bothered me that much what they were saying, I should have just reached out to them and understood their perspective, and I probably would have learned a lot along the way that could have made those relationships better. So that's something I'm trying to do now. Reaching out to some of those people privately that I've had bad relationships with and trying to, you know, apologize for my part in it, trying to understand their perspective and repair some of those relationships. I think that's important just for me as a human to be better. And I guess the third category is really my relationship with Major League Baseball. I'm a business owner now. I have a lot of employees that I'm responsible for, and I can't imagine what my reaction would be if an employee of mine came out and said some of the things about me that I said about Rob, especially without having that conversation privately first. So I look back on a lot of those things with a lot of embarrassment and regret. It came from a place of wanting to grow the game of baseball, but I think I went about it in the wrong way and probably did more damage than good. So
The stuff with baseball, I think that's very easy for people to process. That's work, that's baseball. Yeah. The other stuff is where the disconnect, and some is hate, some is an understanding of actually what transpired legally, somewhere in the middle. I guess my question, Trevor, like, I get it. Like, if I'm a pro athlete and I'm single, you got people slide into DMs, it could be fun. But to jump into that kind of behavior, that's what I don't get. Like, that doesn't, unless I'm wrong, doesn't just start when you're, you know, your late 20s and somebody reaches out to you, hey, I like this, I like that, let's do it. Like, or did it just start that late? Were you always into that aggressive sex?
I think that's a misperception on this whole thing, is that I'm out there actively seeking that type of thing, and that's not true. I think, I didn't apply a very high level of scrutiny to my personal life. So when someone would ask me to do these things, I was like, okay, let me understand why. Let me understand why you enjoy that, why you want that. I would confirm multiple times, text, in person, during and after the interaction itself. Why do you like this? Or, you know, that type of thing. I thought at the time that I was, you know, applying a good level of I had a good understanding of why they wanted to do it. And I didn't really, I'm very, like, not judgmental. And so if someone says they like this or like that, I don't really judge them for it. And looking back on it, I absolutely should have drawn a hard line on what I was personally willing to do instead of just going along with kind of what other people were interested sometimes. That's not to say that I only ever went along with what, you know, other people are interested in, but when it comes to those specific acts, that type of rough sex acts, that's kind of how I approached things at the time. Not how I approach things anymore, of course. I'm not, you know,
Do counseling? Did you undergo any sort of counseling for that?
Not in like an official capacity, but I've talked to a lot of people. There's been a lot of discussion over the last 2.5 years, just going through all of the legal process, talking to, we've had a lot of like experts that have come in. I just had a lot of people in general around the subject, and I've had to talk about it a lot more than I would normally prefer to. So not in an official, like in an official capacity doing any counseling, but I've talked about it a lot.
The biggest problem, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata on the fan, we have Trevor Bauer in studio here. The biggest problem, Trevor, is the violent physical nature of what took place with you and multiple women. This is not just one thing, it's a repeated pattern. So now you're saying it's not something that you do any longer, but that's something that is the big issue here because of the violent physical nature of it, and it's been repeated. There have been multiple reports out there about different accusations.
Okay, like I'd like to clear some of that up. Lindsay Hill alleged that a lot of things happened that didn't happen. The things that she alleged were very serious and should have been and were investigated extremely thoroughly. They didn't happen. So on that one specifically, like, I understand that people look at it and say, these are things that, you know, no one should ever do, regardless if it was consensual or not. It should just not. But those things that they're saying happened, they didn't happen.
Well, that's one instance, right? So then there are other ones. Like, this is, are you denying the fact that this was and again, I don't like care what you do in the bedroom, but this is the issue that you have here.
Correct.
This is the bad image that people are going to see. Oh my God, Trevor Bauer, the rough sex, the choking, whatever it may be. You don't need to get into details here, but I'm just going based off of the reports that are out there. So even if you take this one Lindsay Hill, whatever, out, it has happened before. It's been a pattern, no?
Well, I've certainly had rough sex before with other people. There's one other outstanding legal matter, a civil case that someone filed against me. I can't talk about that one specifically because it's ongoing legal matters. The other two, there's two anonymous reports in a newspaper. Both of those people, first, before they made any sort of allegations against me, hired a lawyer and demanded seven figures from me. When I refused to pay them, they then went and, through their lawyers, spoke to the newspaper. If I did those things, why would I? Money wasn't an issue. Like, why would I put myself through this? Why would I refuse to pay them and have all these other allegations come out? I'm not willing to get extorted for things that I did not do. And so when reports come out, and I understand the perspective for sure that there's a pattern here, but that's people assuming that these things that are reported, these things that are alleged, actually happened. And it's just not an accurate account of what happened. So, I understand the perspective.
Well, that's going to be the number one thing that you have to overcome.
That's all that matters.
And I completely agree.
Well, and not to us or not to even public opinion, because we get calls, and we'll get into the sports aspect of it in a second, but, oh, the Mets should sign Bauer, the Yankees should sign Bauer. So sports fans may be going to be a little more forgiving, but Major League Baseball, I mean, that's the problem that you have. A team's got to take a chance on employing you based off of these things that are out there, and you have to clear the air and explain what the hell happened.
And look, the best I can do is say, at the time, I had a certain perspective on it, and I was willing to engage in that type of thing. In every case, I would talk about it with the person. We'd be in agreement on what was going to take place. I'm not willing to engage in that any longer, regardless of any conversation that happens. I've had a large perspective shift on that. My actions were reckless. There's no doubt about it. And I've changed. So I completely understand the perspective, and it's valid. And I can't do anything to change that other than say, this is how I think was thinking about it then, and this is how I think about it and act now.
See, Trevor, there's a couple of different levels here. There's MLB, there's the teams, then there's the fans, right?
Right.
So I'm married. I've got a daughter. Sal's married. He's got a daughter. And a lot of our audience has, you know, aunts, moms, women that they care about and love and always try to protect. I don't want you to be Trevor Bauer right now. I want you to be Joe Williams, right? Who's a Yankees fan. And Trevor Bauer suddenly is on the Yankees or the Mets. What do you say to your daughter? Like, where she has access to Google and she sees a little bit. How do you explain that this is now who we're rooting for?
Well, shout out to Joe Williams out there, wherever he may be.
Hey, if he can pitch, we'll take it. Right. Both teams need some pitching. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Look, I'm not a father. I don't have a daughter, so I can't put myself 100% in those shoes. That's definitely a valid concern. It's something that is an uncomfortable conversation to have. I would hope that the conversation would be about having personal boundaries, the importance of knowing what you're willing to do and not willing to do. I would hope it would include something about chance for a second chance, right, where people are able to make mistakes, learn from them, grow, and be better in the future. I would hope that there was some sort of conversation about, you know, learning all of the facts of a matter before jumping to conclusions. But again, I don't have a daughter, so it's hard for me to really put myself in those shoes.
But you know that that's coming.
For sure.
And being as transparent as you are or you can be here, It's different than being introduced by a team at a press conference and being smashed by, you know, 50,000 questions or getting lit up and walking off the field after 2 1/3 in Queens, in the Bronx, in L.A., whatever. And suddenly, you know, 40,000 people are against you, not only because you didn't pitch well, but because of the baggage that you brought. Like, you, this is a massive jump. Are you prepared? Are you really, really prepared to be able to handle this?
I think if I'm still standing now, after the last 2.5 years, after the things that have been said about me, after the allegations that have been made against me, I don't think there's anything that's going to be more difficult than that on me personally. So I have no concerns over handling. Yeah, I've never had any concerns on handling the baseball stuff, as you mentioned.
Yep.
But I have no concerns about handling the personal stuff either, because I've wanted to talk about things for 2.5 years. I've wanted to share my perspective and my side on things. I'm not running from questions. I'm not running from those conversations because, yep, like, I have a lot of, you know, responsibility in this, and I fully accept that, and I'm happy to talk about my, you know, my mistakes and how I've grown and learned and stuff from it. So, yeah, I have no question that I can handle the media, the fans, the positives, negatives.
The heat. I mean, the heat's coming. Yeah. We know it's coming.
And we do want to get into the baseball stuff here. I have a couple more. At least I have one more. Yeah. Brandon Tierney, yeah. Salicata, Trevor Bauer in studio here. How much of this, Trevor, I mean, you had the longest suspension in the history of the sport for domestic violence, sexual assault, whatever the exact phrasing is there. How much of your penalty do you think had to do with the fact that, like I said, I thought you were a jerk, maybe the way that you've handled yourself, going at the commission, all these different things that you've done throughout the course of your career, and then on top of it, the stuff that came out, how much of it do you think was a culmination of the way that you've acted your entire career?
Well, I want to stay away from talking about anything to do with the arbitration, the MLB investigation. I'm not able to talk about that. What I will say is, you know, my actions leading up to this for my career as a whole certainly didn't help the matter. I don't want to in any way downplay the severity of the allegations that were made, because they're, as I said earlier, they're very severe and should have been looked into and were looked into very carefully. But it, you know, my relationship with the media didn't make this any easier on anyone. Myself, the Dodgers, my teammates, MLB, my relationship with the league didn't make this any easier on myself or really anyone involved. And I'm directly responsible for those relationships. So, you know, in that sense, my actions, obviously including my actions with the women, as we've discussed, made it more difficult. But outside of that, I can't really comment on that.
Look, everybody in life makes mistakes, right? And if you learn from the mistake, it's a good thing. And this is obviously a mistake or mistakes. What have you learned from it?
I think we don't have enough time probably to go through all the things that I learned. But if I could sum it up into, you know, something simple, I think I was very focused on myself and, you know, the technical side of my job. And I was not very focused on the human side of things, the human reactions to what I said, the human relationships. And I didn't really consider other people's, how other people would be affected by my actions, both good or bad. I didn't consider it. So I think if I had to sum it up, it'd be just, you know, empathy, having more of a human connection with people. Understanding their perspectives and trying to look out for how I will affect them instead of just how they're affecting me.
So we're talking to Trevor Bauer. He's with us in studio, BT and Sal on the Fan. Now, and we'll definitely get a couple of good baseball questions here for you, Mets and Yanks both pertaining to them. But you're starting the tour now. You're on Fox News yesterday. Now you're with us, two massive outlets and a chance to tell your story. Now, the skeptical person, I would think that this is common sense, but the skeptical person sitting there saying, guy's desperate, you know, $100 million flushed down the chute, he needs the money, he's got to reclaim his career, yeah, Japan's great, but it's not the States, he's one of the best pitchers in the world, he wants to be on the biggest stage. Why should, and I don't blame you, but those who don't feel as if you're authentic right now, and it's not just about saving your ass. Why should people believe you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't ask people to believe me right now because I think...
But you're going to have to on some level because for a team to take a chance, you're going to have to convince people like now.
I certainly hope that people will believe me. I'm sincere. I'm not one to come out and lie. I don't fake things. I think I've, I think I've had, unfortunately, a long history of not faking things and being very, open and out there in the public. But look, this isn't something that I'm doing just to try to, get a job and then if that doesn't happen, I'm just going to go away or whatever. This is something that I've changed in my life. I want to be seen as a positive influence, not a negative. I want to be a positive role model, not a negative one. I'm committed to that. That's how I'm going to live the rest of my life. So I certainly hope people will believe me. There's only so much I can do in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months.
Yep.
Compared to what I can do in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And I hope that people over the course of time will look back and say, okay, he was sincere, he was genuine, because the actions, the follow-up aligned with what I heard him say.
Right. It can't just be about talk. You're actually going to have to go out there and act in a certain way. And look, we've seen Michael Vick do what he did and bounce back, not only in play, and has become a broadcaster now.
Yeah.
Domingo Germán, who had issues, he was celebrated for throwing a perfect game. So, and I'm not trying to compare, other stories to yours in particular, Trevor, but, I mean, all right, did some bad things. People sometimes deserve second chances here. And
he wasn't charged with a crime. People need to remember, he was not charged with a crime. It's a fact.
Like all I'm looking for is a second chance to have the opportunity to prove to people that I'm doing things differently, that I've grown, that I've learned lessons, that I'm more mature now. I'm gonna prove that over the course of time. I hope that I get to do it in baseball. I hope that I get to do it on the field and in the clubhouse and in the community, as opposed to just outside of the game.
Yep.
But one way or the other, like, I'm committed to doing that and to being a positive role model moving forward.
What is your relationship like right now? It's BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Trevor Bauer in studio with current players in the game.
I have very good relationships with players in the game. I'm sure there's people that don't like me, of course. But I have countless texts from players, coaches, managers, people in all walks of baseball that won't say anything publicly, as I'm sure you can understand why that they might not do that.
Well, just like
of course.
I get it.
And I do appreciate the people that have come out and said stuff. Mookie Betts, one of my favorite guys in baseball, someone I'm close with, did come out and voice his opinion. I really appreciate that. But there's countless other texts that I have that I'll never talk about publicly to protect that.
I'm sorry, Trevor, to cut you. That's a big part of this too, BT. Like,
sure.
Yes, the organizations are going to have to be willing to take a chance and an initial PR hit. But if the clubhouse is like,
do they want this guy back?
That would be one thing to call us to Sal. We want Trevor Bauer. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how he's going to work in the clubhouse here. It could be a problem. That's why I asked that question.
Yeah, I think I have a reputation of being bad in the clubhouse. I think that got started very early on in my career back in Arizona. Some things, I'm at fault for sure. Some things completely out of my control, but I haven't felt that in years and years and years. There hasn't been, dating back to partway through my time in Cleveland. Like, I was fine in the clubhouse. I had good relationships. Like, we were close as a team. I went to Cincinnati and we were close as a team. I went to the Dodgers and we were close as a team. There's public perception, which I understand is in our society is oftentimes reality, right? Perception is reality. But there's also the reality of me being in the clubhouse and knowing those relationships that I have. And the perception doesn't match the reality.
Okay. So now we thought he was coming here. We were hoping. Yamamoto gets a gazillion dollars. And I know he's got filthy stuff. He's never thrown a pitch in the United States that mattered. Okay. You are a pitcher of record, an accomplished one, and obviously dealing with this. I can't imagine that you're not playing Major League Baseball this year. I can't imagine. And I put myself on the record, Yankees and Mets should already be deeply vetting you and should already be in the process of determining just how serious they are in signing you. So the question is, teams reaching out yet? And if they've reached out, have you even had any contractual dialogue? Let's start with that. Where are we with teams reaching out to you?
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations. You know, of course, I have agents that handle the majority of those conversations. I've personally had some of them, but my agents have had a lot of dialogue with a lot of different teams. I don't really want to discuss which teams they are or anything like that.
I got you. Does it seem serious, or are they actually like talking terms, or like just general, hey, let's plant some seeds and see where this goes here?
Yeah, I mean, it's free agency, you know, is slower some years and faster other years. So I would say, looking back at the one experience I have in it and when things happened, this offseason has been almost exactly the same as the last time that I was a free agent in terms of where the contract or where the conversations are right now and when we expect to have any sort of contractual details starting to be discussed. That didn't happen until January, maybe second week of January, okay. Last time I was
all
a
right,
free
so it's
agent,
not that so. Far off. Do you, in your heart, though, do you feel like you're going to be on a big league mound next year?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm one of the best pitchers in the world. I think talent-wise, no one questions that I should be in a big league locker room and on the big league field. Obviously, there's there's extenuating circumstances that are of concern, and I don't know. I'm very hopeful. I want a second chance, you know, and I'm hopeful that someone will give that to me. But I realize that there's a lot of reasons why they may not, and valid reasons, not that I'm responsible for. So I'm hopeful, and we'll see how it plays out.
Does money? It's BT and Sal on the Fan Talk with Trevor Bauer in studio. Does money play a major factor here? Like, I'm not sure what you got in Japan, but I'm assuming you can make more money maybe there than you might get here, which would lead a team to get great value. We talk about all the Mets and Yankees. You're a guy who could be a number one or certainly a number two at this point. And you're not going to get the $40 million a year that you were getting. Does money have a factor in your decision at all to come back to the big leagues?
My only goal is to get a second chance to play. I want to go back to play. I've spent 30 years of my life developing a skill set, becoming the best in the world at something. And I just want to go back to work. Money won't be a hindrance. It's not like I'm going to hold out and say, well, talent-wise, I'm worth X and ignore all the other stuff.
So you're realistic at this point. If contractually, you understand where we're at.
I'm probably more than anyone out there, I understand exactly where we're at.
Now, you did choose the Dodgers over the Mets back in 2021. You might have upset King Cohen there. And it bothered me a little bit as a Mets fan. I got to be honest, the stuff leaked about the Mets hat. And I'm like, huh, I don't know if I want Bauer, but I'd certainly take him. And then you chose the freaking Dodgers, Trevor. But you think about that decision maybe impacting your chances to come back and potentially play for Steve Cohen, who certainly had interest in you.
Look, I think that the way that unfolded was unfortunate. A big mistake on our part having that website page live, and I regret that. It wasn't an intentional attempt to troll anyone or to piss any fan base off. I think outside of that, you know, free agents get offers, good offers from teams all the time and turn them down. So I would hope that doesn't impact future decisions. The fact that website page leaked early, it might. And that's on me. Like, my team made that mistake, so.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Trevor Bauer is live in studio. Now, listen, I went back and I read all this, and I think it was 7 or 8 tweets in succession, excuse me, that you put out there trying to clarify what happened with the website going live, and I choose to believe you. I mean, it's either that or you're the best liar in the world. It seemed fairly authentic to me, and if I'm not mistaken, there were 3 or 4 charitable endeavors that you filed, Boys and Girls Club, where you donated $10,000 or $15,000 to prove, in New York-based, by the way, to prove that wasn't a ruse and that you weren't trying to play Met fans. So that's the Met angle. Here's the Yankee angle, all right? And we've talked about this a lot, and I just need the bottom line, truth now, no nonsense, no dancing. Gerrit Cole, all right? We know the relationship that you had in college. It was a little cold, different personalities, whatever. Both amazing pitchers, but different directions, not really tight. And it's gotten, it's almost like it's been hijacked, because we were talking a little bit yesterday, full disclosure, and you told us it's not necessarily that way anymore. What's the story? Because that's the first thing the Yankee fan wants to know. If he would come here and he's going to piss off Gerrit Cole, we don't want him. What's going on with your former teammate?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing going on with Gerrit and I. We're fine. We don't talk every day. You know, he has his life, I have mine, and our paths really haven't crossed much since college. But we've been at multiple alumni games at UCLA with each other, had pleasant conversations, talked about baseball, mechanics, recovery, stuff like that. Like, there's no issue between me and him. And he would say the same. I think that's something that stems from college. Look, we're both intense competitors, and that's one thing I respect the hell out of him for. Like, he's one of, if not the best pitchers in the game. The run he went on with Houston, I think the last like 5 months of the year he was there in the playoffs, incredible. One of the best runs in modern baseball history.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I have nothing but respect for him, and I'd love to pitch against him. I like testing myself against the best, and what better way to do it than to be in a rotation facing the same teams with the same defense and everything. I'd love that opportunity.
Let me ask you that. I respect that. Let me ask you this. So if the Yankees, who are historically much more conservative than the Mets, as you know, if they go to Cole and they say, all right, you know what he's been through, Trevor, we have some holes and we need some arms, can you vouch for him? Do you think he would at this point?
Yeah, I think he would. I certainly on the field and in the clubhouse, like personal relationship. You know, I haven't spoken to Gerrit. I don't know how he feels about the off-field stuff, so I don't want to put words in his mouth.
I got you.
But outside of that, yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me this before 2021, I would have said absolutely he'd vouch for me.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, we have Trevor Bauer in studio. Do you think you can handle New York? Like, there's New York, and then there's New York off of what you're going through and trying to come back from. Do you think you can handle this market under these circumstances?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, if the last 2.5 years haven't knocked me down, there's not much that's going to. The types of things that have been said about me and the volume at which they've been said has been it's been a lot. I don't really go on social media much anymore. I have people that kind of post content for me, but I'm not out there reading tweets and reading articles. I wouldn't have been able to survive if I was doing that the last couple of years. And I'm a business owner now. I have a lot of other things off the field that I spend my time focusing on. I think it's a lot healthier for me because, you know, my mind is very active and needs something to be working on. I'm also committed to, like, you know, being better at talking to people, like I mentioned earlier. And if someone writes something negative about me or says something negative about me, I'm happy to go on and just have a conversation. I mean, you mentioned earlier that you kind of looked at me as a dick.
Yeah.
I
said jerk, but I was going to say dick, and our boss said not to say it. So there you go. Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry for
that. You did say it yesterday.
You can say it. Now I can say it. I thought you were dick
yesterday.
Yeah.
He did.
Maybe I can't say it on air. Sorry.
No, we can.
But yeah, I think it would have been, you know, had I just come in before and like, hey, let's just talk, you know, whether on the air or off the air. I think probably you would have had a different opinion, maybe not a better opinion of me, but different for sure. And that's something that I'm, you know, committed to doing moving forward. New York, Kansas City, wherever, it doesn't matter. Small market, big market. To put it simply, I have no questions on handling.
And you know, listening to you talk, Trevor, like the fan in me is like, man, this guy was made to compete in New York. Like, you're a competitor. You had an opportunity. Why did you choose L.A. over New York?
Close to family. And, you know, I grew up going to Dodger Stadium. I sat in the bleachers with my dad listening to Vin Scully on the radio watching the game.
Okay.
There's your answer.
All right. That's an easy one. You know what? That's a great answer, though. It's, at least it makes sense. Now I don't feel as hurt as a Mets fan.
Little nostalgia there. I've
played the Mets like Yamamoto did. He's no dummy. Yeah, you get a little more money out of the Dodgers like Yamamoto did.
That wasn't me. I have to give, I guess, credit to my agents on that if credit is due. But I've actually never played in Citi Field. That's one of the two stadiums I've never played in, yeah. So
let me ask you this. We're with Trevor Bauer, of course. Comparable deals, and I'm sure on some level there'll be options, incentive-laden, whatever. Both the Yankees and the Mets structure the same exact deal, and then they offer you. What's more appealing right now, the Yankees or the Mets?
I'm gonna dodge the question a little bit.
We bet you a lot more questions than that.
If you're dodging that, you'll never make it here. You can't dodge that one. You gotta answer that one.
I'm gonna give you a caveat. I don't know anything about their organizations. I've spoken to the Mets a little bit more than I've spoken to the Yankees, just because last free agency. So if I have to answer, I would say the Mets, just because I know a little bit more about their personnel, what their processes are, because I've already been through those conversations. But having the chance to go through those conversations with the Yankees, my opinion may change. But if you ask me today, I have to say that because I know a little bit more about their operation.
You still think you're a top guy? Like, if I look at you and say, oh, the Mets could pencil in Bauer, or the Yankees, whatever you slot in behind Cole, like, are you a number one, number two? Where do you value yourself right now? Because I haven't seen you pitch in the big leagues.
I'm a top 15 pitcher in the world, I would say.
Where are you at on the gun right now? I know it's not all about velo, but where are you? Well, I know your numbers were very good in Japan. What'd you hit? What top velo?
I topped out. I set a new career high in velocity, 99.4. My average velocity was higher than it's been since 2014, and I think it was about even with 2014, 94.4 miles an hour.
What do you attribute the jump to?
Well, I never stopped training. So in professional baseball, you get 3 months of training and 9 months of season. I had 18 months straight of training, so I was able to get a lot better, more physically capable, added a new pitch. I have a splitter now. Everyone in Japan throws splitters, so I was able to pick up some tips over there, talk to Yamamoto about his and a couple other guys. So.
You talked to him, Yamamoto, you said?
Yeah. I played his team. I didn't match up against him specifically, but we talked for probably 15 minutes before one of the games.
What's he look like from your eyes?
He's incredible, man.
Like just pure filth? Unhittable stuff?
Yeah. I mean, he has the arsenal. Like, he uses... So Japan's a little bit different from a swing path perspective. The hitters have different approaches and different swing paths, so he uses arsenal more four-seam splitter and then an occasional big curveball.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a cutter and a sweeper slider that I think he threw his sweeper like 0.2% of the time, but it's good. Like, it's like an elite sweeper. He spins the ball very well. It's true. It's high spin, true backspin, fastball. He's also he's a shorter guy, so his release angle is low, which makes the fastball play a lot better. Splitter is 90 and has an elite movement profile to it. Like, I mean, you're talking about like elite stuff.
Yeah, now, he sounds okay.
You're a student of the game.
Yeah, this guy's
man.
A cerebral. Good guy. Me and Tiki used to interview him a couple times.
Yeah.
We did. He was always great coming on Talking Ball.
It's one thing to know just in general, but you're talking about specifics with certain players.
I just love
you got a scouting report on
right
Shota Imanaga. You have one on.
Yeah. I mean, another elite fastball profile. When he's 94, 95, he's got an excellent command of his fastball. He can basically throw nothing but fastballs all game and chew people up.
At mid-90s? Not even... Why? Just movement? Location?
I mean, so the average like big league fastball has like 16 inches of lift, let's say.
Yeah.
Depending on the measurement tool, but let's just say it's about 16.
Yeah.
He's hanging out at 22.
Wow.
So the ball is appearing to hitters as if it's going to be two balls lower than where it actually ends up.
Yeah.
So people just swing and miss at it nonstop.
What are you at inch-wise? So 16 for him, 20, you know, average 22 for him, I should say. You are what?
18.
Okay.
I would say like range-wise 17 to 20, but probably averaging 18.
You guys are losing
like Cole,
here. I don't know. What do you even know what Garrett
about? I'm not sure on Garrett. I think he was like more like 20 inches. Last I checked when he was in Houston, I haven't seen New York numbers.
Speaking of Japan, I was talking with Trevor Bauer, BT and Sal here on The Fan. Do you have to let them know by a certain date what your intentions are if you're going to go back there, which then would obviously impact the major league conversations that you're having?
There's no contract in place. I'm a free agent.
Okay,
I signed a one-year deal in Japan, so we're talking to Japan, you know, same type of thing, talking to teams here and there. I love Japan. Japan's it was awesome. I can't say enough good things about it. The people were awesome. The fans were awesome. The Bay Stars organization, like, super welcoming. And, like, it was such a great experience. Obviously, you know, I would prefer to... it was hard for me to be, you know, away from family and friends for that long. I think it's difficult. I have a new respect for the Japanese players that come here, for all the foreign players that come here. Seeing what it's like, experiencing what it's like being away from friends and family, and just the culture that you grew up in,
mm-hmm.
it's hard. And I think, you know, people deserve, especially the Japanese guys that come over that don't get to go through the minor leagues, that come over and expected to compete at the highest level in a new league away from a culture that they're used to.
Like,
I think they deserve a little bit more leeway with the fans than they get sometimes. It's hard. So yeah, I'd prefer to play at home. But that's not to say anything negative about Japan. I love my time there, and I would
Most go faith, back they gave play. You a chance. I mean, you were dead in the water. If it's not for Japan, I'm not maybe you could have gone to Taiwan. I know there's other, you know, international baseball options, but behind the United States, Japan's number two. They opened the door for you.
Is there a player, a pitcher currently that you look up to and respect in the big leagues? Or maybe not look up to and respect, but, you know, look at him and say, that guy is dominant or this guy is dominant. Whoever it could be, Blake Snell won in the Cy Young last year, whatever, pick a guy.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett is definitely one of them. Spencer Strider is another one. Burns, great pitcher. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Honestly. I watch guys.
But you could be as good.
I study. I try to pick up things from them, and I try to compete against them. So if it's like, this guy does this thing better, I'm going to go try to do it better than he does.
I love that.
Well, I mean, listen, you guys need him. So do we.
Oh, Yankees need pitching, too.
I love for the Yankees to sign him. I've said that. I'm not hiding that.
You might be the ace of the Mets right now. Hey, look, they got some, you know, Kodai Senga did a nice job coming over from Japan in his first year with the
Mets.
He's
great.
Yeah. You know, Quintana, but they have right now, you know, they went all in on Yamamoto to get a number one. That's why I think the idea of signing you would be appealing because you're getting a guy with number one potential, and you're going to get, no offense, but you're going to get a good value. Like, you're not getting the $40 million that you were getting. So
that's what I've been saying for a while. Let me throw this at you, Trevor. So
BT and Sal on the Fan with Trevor Bauer in studio.
So it's a one-run game. You're up, and nobody on, you know, one out, two out, whatever. Judge is up. How do you pitch Judge? Without walking him, how would you attack Judge?
Yeah, I mean, I've had plenty of those interactions with him. I'd have to look at the numbers and what he's doing currently. His swing may have changed, his approach may have changed, but based on what I last remember, it's elevated fastballs, it's top down, it's better than side to side.
Yeah.
So
it used to be sliders. It used to be sliders low. Remember when Scherzer was abusing him at City when those sliders low and away? But he tightened up. He found that hole.
Yeah, It's you have to balance timing, so you got to go fastballs up and in occasionally. He can get to it, so you can't live there. It's top down breaking balls, and it's a bigger, slower slider if you're going to go lateral, you're going to go away, because you want the speed difference. If you go with a hard slider and you leave it in the zone, it's dangerous. So those are kind of the options. I have a new split now. I'd have to look at how he performs against splits, but
gotcha.
Yeah.
Are you somebody, Trevor, that would, and again, I know in the short term you want to get back in the game, obviously, and be one of the top pitchers just like you were, you know, for years in the major leagues. You ever think down the road being a manager or a pitching coach with all the knowledge that you have and being a student of the game?
Yeah, I've had a lot of those thoughts. I think, one thing I've always wanted to do is kind of run a college program and just like a true development program. I don't see myself necessarily doing it in professional ball, just unless the landscape changes a little bit. You don't get enough time to work developmentally with players because in the off season everyone goes home and they're spread out, and during season you have to worry about competing, which, like, I love competing, but I think from a training perspective and a coaching perspective, I like development and developing the skills because I think that's where I'm best. So I do it privately already. I run a gym. We train athletes. You know, we got 20 to 25 pro guys in there this off season that I'm working with on a daily basis, mechanics, pitch design, approach, mentality, strength, whatever. I enjoy that. So I can see myself doing something like that. I don't know if I'd ever do it in like a big league pitching coach type of a role.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, this, I think a lot of the parents would enjoy hearing this. Trevor Bauer with us here on BT and Sal on the Fan. So my son's 9 today. He's a ball player, club baseball, and I'm not alone in the metropolitan area. But there's so many games. There's so much misinformation. You know, if you don't know the game yourself as a parent, a coach could easily burn your son or daughter out. What's the best approach? I don't mean 13, 14, 8, 9, even still 10, from a pitching perspective. How often should you pitch? I know you're not throwing curves. There's no way that's happened at that age. But you mix in the change, try to spot the fastball. Any advice for baseball moms and dads out there?
Yeah, and this is really nice because the best advice developmentally also aligns with the best advice, or what I think is the best advice parentally.
Okay.
Have fun playing different positions. And I'll give a little bit. It's a lot deeper than this, so I won't take time to explain it. But, like, if you play different positions, your body has to adapt to a bunch of different movements. You develop the motor skills and you develop a better throwing pattern in general. If you want to pitch, you first have to throw. So if you develop a really robust throwing pattern where you can throw sidearm on the run from shortstop, and you can make a crow hop throw from the outfield to throw someone out, and you can make a quick double play shovel pass, like you're developing body awareness. And when you get on the mound, it's just a different type of throwing.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing at that age is to develop throwing pattern first, and then to develop fastball and arm speed and velocity, as opposed to other pitches. With the way that pitches are taught these days, the high-speed cameras, the knowledge that's out there, you can pick up a new pitch in 2 months, and it can be elite. Some people are picking up pitches in between starts, and they're good big league pitches the next, you know, 3 days later.
Like, is a show-me pitch or a pitch that they're going to utilize?
Something that they'll utilize, like, up to 20%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I've seen that happen. So you don't need to start early on developing all these pitches. What you need to do is learn how to throw hard in an effective way,
yeah,
so you're not putting yourself at additional risk. And the best way to do that is to go play a bunch of different positions, which is also the most fun for kids.
You big a long toss guy?
Big long toss guy, yeah. One key on long toss.
Yeah.
Only go as far as you can hit your partner within one step. So if you have to move one step left, right, front, back, that way you're training command as well, and you're not putting yourself in a position where you're like getting out of whack mechanically and putting extra strain.
That makes sense.
One more on this. BT and Sal on the fan. We have Trevor Bauer in studio. The health of pitchers is a major freaking problem in the sport. Yeah. Guys think they could try to fix it, limiting innings and pitches and all this stuff. They still get hurt with big injuries. You have any ideas on how to fix that or how to stay healthy?
Yeah, the first thing that has to be said on that is, like, as you have to throw harder to get an opportunity, like, there's more stress. So, of course, injuries are going to go up. There's no foolproof way to stop them. That being said, you can definitely do stuff to limit them. It takes a lot of work and dedication, and I think most guys aren't either, one, exposed to that type of stuff to know what to do, or don't have the mental ability to do that. But just like, you know, probably shouldn't throw hard the day after you pitch. And a lot of guys have a bad outing and they go throw hard the next day. And so you put yourself in a hole recovery-wise. You know, you should eat well during the season. It's hard to eat well on the road. It's hard to eat well at home if your organization isn't providing high-quality food. Most guys don't know what eating well even means. Mm. You know, organizations have nutritionists, and it's getting better, right? But not in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that can be done to, like, incrementally chip away at the problem, but it'll never be, like, 100% guys don't get injured.
I got to be honest, BT.
Yeah.
Aside from the obvious, like, Bauer on the mound and what he could do as being a top pitcher, as you say, Trevor, yourself, top 15 pitcher in the world right now, I think you'd be an asset to any organization. Look at the knowledge that
he knows the game.
He's, and I'm not trying to get stressed. Like I said, I thought you were a dick from the beginning, whatever. But you would be an asset to any major league baseball
organization. I've always known this, though. Yeah. Remember, me and Teak had him on a bunch. And he's been talking this for a while.
Yeah.
Tweeting, you know, really, you embraced Twitter, like, very aggressively back in the day, and created an avenue to connect with fans probably earlier than most. I want to read you something. I want your reaction. So, Trevor Bauer's with us here in studio, by the way, BT and Sal. I put this poll up on Twitter, and that was a couple of hours ago, a couple thousand votes. I said, right now, are you open, before the interview, are you open to Trevor Bauer signing with the Yankees or the Mets? What do you think the percentage of yes was, or is so far?
I've seen a couple of these things over the last couple of years. I'd guess somewhere 55, 60%
66%.
Yes.
So, okay. And I would think, knowing our audience, I won't speak for everybody, but I would think that would trend more favorably. That's got to make you feel good. It's got to make you feel good.
Yeah. I do a lot to try to engage with the fans content-wise. And actually, on the Twitter thing, I originally got onto Twitter to try to engage with fans and be positive from a baseball knowledge standpoint.
Yep.
I wish I just would have stuck there instead.
Avoid the DMs, dude. You can still go on. Just don't check out the DMs.
Well, not even just that. The other stuff,
even just like the combative stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But, it makes me feel good for sure. I think a lot of fans out there are able to look at things and make their own decisions. To your guys' point, like, people care about winning. I think they can look and say, oh, this guy would help us win. And it's good to see that they, you know, look at the other stuff and are willing to give a second chance, regardless of how they feel about it, you know, willing to say, hey, give this guy a second chance. So,
why should fans welcome you back?
Well, I think, you know, giving a second chance to someone is important. I think that's an important life lesson for anyone. You know, I can say all I want that I've made changes in my life. No one's seen that yet. I mean, if you look at my Twitter activity over the last 2 or 3 years, there's not been, and really over the last like 4 years, there's not been really any of that combative stuff. So there's signs out there. But look, I'm one of the best pitchers in the world. I can help on the field. I can help win. I can help in the clubhouse. I've been doing that for my entire career, every team I've been with. I think, you know, getting a second chance would mean a lot to me. I think it's something that's important in society that we give people second chances. That's something that I have to, you know, I have to ask the fans for, and it's not guaranteed. But the other stuff I can guarantee. I'm going to pitch well. I'm going to help the team win.
Trevor, I don't have much more for you here. Trevor Bauer with us on The Fan. Let's say it's one of our teams. They sign you, right? I have no doubt, you know, from our conversation today, yesterday, the press conference, you handle every question, you answer, you're transparent, you're contrite, everything that you've shown so far today, right? But does that continue? Because I think the one problem would be, like, if I'm you, I can't address it the first day and then say, I'm done with that, I've already addressed that. Like, and in a loud, busy, big city like this, there's going to be a lot of people coming at you. Not to regurgitate what we talked about earlier, I just want to make sure that you're prepared to not just one and done at an initial press conference, but to keep talking about it if people want to talk about it.
Yeah, look, I'm not running from any of the questions. I'm not running from opportunities to talk about it. I think that I have a unique story here. It's, you know, there's not a whole lot of these out there, and I think it provides a good learning opportunity for maybe other players that can learn from my mistakes, maybe kids that can learn what to do, what not to do, mostly. And I want to be a positive influence. So to the extent that someone wants to talk about things whenever, you know, whether it's now, today, or it's 3 years from now, I think, you know, that's something that I'm interested in doing, because I want to be an example that helps someone else do it better than I did it, you know? So
there you go.
Sounds like somebody to me. And look, I was the one that was more difficult in this. Anytime this conversation would come up, you know, BT be like, hey, would you be open? I'm like, I don't know if I would. I just don't. And certain teams like the Mets, because they've had certain issues go along there that I don't know if they could take the PR hit that it would be, you know, bringing you in. And like I said, I didn't love the attitude or the arrogance for years just in following from afar. But I do believe in second chances, and which is one of the reasons why we have you in studio on the show today, and we appreciate you coming in, but also we're giving you the platform here. So I do, we believe in second chances, and there are plenty of examples before you, Trevor, that have gotten second chances and thrive. We mentioned Michael Vick, and there have been plenty of others.
Even Doc and Darryl, the drugs. I mean, think about the Bernard King. Look at Bernard King's early history. Google it.
It's not going to be easy, like I said before, because of the nature of what's gone on here, but I'm all for second chances, and I hope for you, and look, for sports fans that root for you, want to root for their team, I know you could help. See, that's one thing. Like, we know you could help a team out and be an asset to an organization on the field, off the field, especially learning from mistakes. Like, I think Mike Vick could be a great asset in helping, dogfighting, all that stuff as he's done afterward. Well, you, if you've learned, truly learned from your mistakes, Trevor, you can be an asset not only to a team and the organization on the field, but also off it and helping other people grow. So I hope you get a second chance.
No, I appreciate that. I hope I do as well. You know,
all right.
But yeah, thank you. And you mentioned that, you know, you guys are giving me a platform, and I appreciate that.
No,
it doesn't go unnoticed.
So. Yeah, and by the way, let's face it, this interview a whole heck of a lot better than what happened on Fox yesterday. You know,
I didn't even watch that.
Come on, we'll judge the interviews. Which one was better? Come on.
I didn't watch that one. What do I care about?
You got to do some research. I watched it.
Longer form is always, you know, it is always better.
Yeah. It's more conversational. Yeah. We'll get a chance to know you a little bit and just, you know, expand and bounce around and stuff. So,
bro, a little advice. If King Cohen comes calling, just take the offer. Dodger hat, Vin Scully, come on.
Now, a little more advice. The Mets are going to be 75 win team this year.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Trevor. Man, I certainly echo what Sal said. Depending upon the severity of whatever occurred, I'm 99% of the time behind second chances. So hopefully, you know, these next chapters treat you well. We laud you for your transparency. It can't be easy sitting in that chair, man, talking about this stuff. And I think you did a really good job, and appreciate you coming in, man.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me.
There you go. Trevor Bauer, get a quick timeout. Obviously, you guys are going to want to react to this. Yankee fans, Met fans, 877-337-6666. Your call is coming up next on The Fan.